Good morning, everybody. Today is Wednesday, February 15th, 2017. And this is Before the First Cup with Jules here on UCY.TV. Happy Wednesday, everyone. It is 36 degrees with a blue sky and actually looks kind of sunny and sort of springy here in upstate New York. So where did we leave off yesterday? We titled the show FDA. DIY biohacking, CRISPR, spores, cyborgs, and the Lovetron 9000. And it was our Valentine's Day show. We looked at a lot of different things that were going on, but specifically biohacking and some of the different things that are going on in the industry. People who are enjoying of the 21st century technology that is allowing us to modify our bodies, to upgrade. And I know that there are a lot of people who definitely want to embrace some of the new technologies, who definitely enjoy modifying their bodies. I personally am not one of them. I don't know, I've had lots of friends and family with tattoos. And I can't even believe I never even got a tattoo. I almost did a couple times, but I didn't. But there are people out there who enjoy it. A lot of people want to upgrade. We had ended the show yesterday reading about a scientist who wasn't going to wait for the FDA. A lot of these scientists who are jumping the gun are jumping the gun over this longevity medicine. So we're going to continue there today. Finished looking at that story, and I really want to kind of look at some of the things that are happening, not only with some of the new developments in AI, because there have been a few things over the last few days that have come out that have really made me raise an eyebrow, because I'm warning you, they are starting to think and become self-aware. But number two, in the gene editing, CRISPRing the TARDIS, they have gone above and beyond, and you knew it was only going to be a matter of time. We are in competition with countries such as China that are way ahead of the game with not only CRISPRing and gene editing humans, but also with cloning and clone factories that they're ready to roll out cows and pigs and racehorses and drug dogs. And the owner of the clone factory in China said he could even retool it to roll out humans. We should be afraid. This is a brave new world, and it is going to bite us right in the ass if we don't pay attention. Now, I just want to take one more second here, because just because of my personal opinions, you know, I just do this show on a wing and a prayer and on what I can stuff into my brain for my research daily and my opinions. But please don't take it, anybody take it personally. Especially if I make fun of something or I laugh at something, because it really isn't meant to be mean. It's kind of my way of just dealing with things and my brain's way of trying to file things that in the beginning don't compute. You know, I don't know. It's a big scary world out there. And things are going to change. For us, it's not going to be 1952. What was his name? With the beaver. All right. Now, if my page load, I got a white screen. Maybe I'll have to sing unless it loads up. Oh, please. Here we go. All right. So we saw the FDA in Germany are starting to crack down on biohackers. And I don't know about you, but that is one thing that I'm pretty certain of, that somebody doing a splicing and dicing DIY in mommy's back bedroom or in the garage or the shed in the swamp of Mississippi. And I laughed at that too, but like I said, I don't have anything against anyone with a shed in the swamp of Mississippi. It sounded like the beginning of a bad movie with banjos. We ended the show with a story called One Man's Quest to hack his own genes. And this was a scientist who apparently had himself injected with something that he created in Davis, California, which happens to be a hotbed. We discovered Davis not only is where UC Davis is and where Jennifer Doudna, one of the grand mammies of CRISPR, resides, but Davis is also where they have the cows, and they were doing genetic modification on the cows. And I had even mentioned these very same cows yesterday, and I found the story when I did the nose. They're the cows, the longhorn cows, that they got rid of or shortened, did something with the horns, so they could pack them better into a meat truck to send them off to market. It's horrifying. But UC Davis, the University of California system, is also the same system that Janet Napolitano has taken over as president. California University system is doing a lot of work with the feds, with the mad science gone mad, with the space program, with radiation, with vaccinations, DNA switch flipping abominations. University of California system has figured quite prominently. But in this case, this guy was in Davis, California. He had been messing around. He went into a plastic surgeon's office. He had the guy, I guess, electrocute him, his thigh, after he'd injected himself with some sort of longevity DNA extending cocktail that he had made himself with his company called Butterfly Scientists or Butterfly Sciences. And the electrocution then opened up his muscle cells to absorb this new DNA that he had injected into himself. So that is where we left the story yesterday. We're going to finish this because it's interesting. And Georgie Church, all the way from the other coast, appears in this story. And that's what caught my attention. So anyway, they say that this is the second case that MIT Technology Review has documented of an unregulated gene therapy. And this is the CEO of this company injecting himself to see if it works. But we have read both of those stories, plus the third story, which was the Russian scientist who injected himself with a 3.5 million year bacteria. And hold on one second, because I did, and we'll find it. She's in the story. I did locate the story on the other CEO, the longevity medicine CEO, who decided to take matters into her own hands as well and sidestep regulation and use herself as the Typhoid Mary guinea pig. And that's what's worrisome to me is, you know, as you're injecting yourself and then interacting, not putting yourself in quarantine, you're interacting with the world. You know, we've discovered many times before that something that we never would have imagined would be contagious is. I was having a discussion yesterday with a friend of mine about gut bacteria. I was digging more into that patented, trademarked probiotic that I'm finding in all kinds of foods that never were healthy for you, but now miraculously are. And digging into the patent, I was digging into the scientist. I have his LinkedIn account open, looking at what he's done, and it seems he has some new company now. But my friend and I were discussing gut bacteria, and I was explaining what's frightening about this stuff. Even this synthetic, whatever that stuff is, the probiotics that they're putting in tea, is that this stuff is contagious. We don't think of it as contagious. They don't call it contagious. But we read a story one time about obesity being contagious. Like, what? Obesity contagious? Well, those bacteria that are in your intestines escape every once in a while, intentionally or not. You know, whether you're in a bathroom, polluting somebody's toothbrush, airborne, or if you're on a subway and you just let a little leaker go. You know, there are particulates. And I know this sounds ridiculous, but it's true. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. There are particulates that escape that potentially could be ingested or breathed or touched, absorbed, eaten. And once they get into your body, you know, it's anybody's guess as to what happens. If you share facilities like in a public restroom, you know, they always used to say, don't get too close to the toilet. I always played by that rule. And then they're like, ah, diseases can't jump. But you know what? Maybe they can. You know, bacteria and viruses are something that we've always taken for granted. You know, we had basic things out there. We typically weren't exposed to killer pathogens. But as we have this unregulated science happening all over the place, and we have CRISPR has been democratized by companies such as Adgene, spread all across the planet for every little Johnny and Susie who wants to do their DIY splicing and dicing kit in their shed in rural Mississippi, we better be aware of what the potential is and how easy it would be for some lunatic or some unsuspecting, naive person who just thinks it's fun to accidentally let something go that maybe it wasn't even dangerous in the first place, but maybe it just happened to be able to mutate easily. That's one of the things that I'm finding. And I'm not going to get too far ahead of myself because this probiotic thing is pretty huge and it goes way back. Many years they had patents and they've been messing with this thing. They found this bacteria actually originally. So I found a story from way back. They found it in the WIP nuclear facility, which even makes me raise an eyebrow more, buried down in the salt crystals, places where bacteria typically don't like to live, bathed in radiation, and it still was alive. It's just nuts. So, guys, I'm just warning you. I don't know how I got off on that tangent, but be careful. Pay attention. And don't brush off anything as being improbable anymore. See, one of the things that comes from being a science fiction fan my entire childhood. And look, I don't live in fantasy worlds, okay? I really don't. There's way more reality than I like to deal with on a daily basis here. But one of the things that being interested in science fiction and being a futurist, quote unquote, my entire adult life has taught me is to never, ever say never. Because anything that we've ever imagined, as nutty as it seems, at some point will become possible. Technology is making that happen. Good or bad, evil or not, it is coming. So, you know, if you're one of those people, like some of my family members are like, oh, Jewel, stop worrying about shit that isn't going to happen for 100 years. Oh, I hate to tell you, it's not 100 years from now. Things are moving at an exponential rate. And we have 1 million fingers in the pie now. It is an arms race. It is a race to who is going to live forever first. It's a race to who's going to make the first bazillion dollars. It is a race as to who is going to control the technology. That's what frightens me. This isn't a race of nuclear weapons anymore. This is way worse. This is the race of splicing and dicing life from every branch to see what we can come up with, something new and novel, some new bacteria we can enslave to manufacture products for us. All in the name of winning the game, being the king of the hill. It's disturbing to me. It's very disturbing. We are racing to the end. And you got people such as Elon Musk out there, rich tech billionaires. Elon Musk. I don't know if this was something that NASA asked him to do. This might be a good place to insert this story. I've had this queued up for a few days. Elon Musk. We discussed yesterday how, like, in the past, we've had scientists out there who have re-engineered, not once, but twice, the 1918 Spanish flu that wiped out millions of people worldwide. And they just wanted to see if they could make it more virulent. They could make it 80 to 90% effective. So to wipe out the majority of people on planet Earth, if it ever got loose. Well, get this. Elon Musk's SpaceX is about to send a lethal superbug into orbit. Remember, we discussed the whole space program. I don't know, we've covered it a few times before. I'm going to say space with quotation marks, since we still haven't figured out how to protect ourselves from long-term radiation outside of the magnetosphere. But we have all these tech billionaires with their own space programs working together with NASA. We have the Kelly brothers, who we just discovered are part of NASA's human research program, because the one Kelly brother is the longest man in space, quote-unquote space, on the International Space Station. The other brother spent the majority of his time on Earth. They discovered the one in space now has longer telomeres. That is an ace in the hole for tech, rich tech billionaire enthusiasts who are all about longevity and trying to live forever. Lengthening telomeres is like the Holy Grail. But even better yet, we have Elon Musk now with SpaceX. And he is preparing to launch a lethal antibiotic-resistant superbug into orbit yesterday to live its days in the microgravity environment of the International Space Station. Now, of course, their idea is not to weaponize space with MRSA, no, which happens to be a bacterium that kills more Americans every year than HIV, Parkinson's, emphysema, and homicide combined. But they have sent it. To see its mutation rates go into hyperdrive, allowing scientists to see the pathogen's next move well before it appears on Earth. Now, did you hear what I said? I know it was a little choppy there because I lost my place for a second. The lights are so bright in the morning. But they just sent MRSA on SpaceX yesterday to apparently rendezvous with the International Space Station to see if they can get it to mutate like crazy, way more than it mutates on Earth, faster and faster, so they can see its next moves long before it ever appears on Earth. This NASA-funded study will see SpaceX's Falcon 9 rocket launch colonies of MRSA into space to be cultivated in U.S. National Laboratory on the International Space Station. Now, what do you think of them, apples? I knew we were doing experiments, but I had no idea that we were sending pathogens that are lethal up to the space station. I wonder how those astronauts feel being trapped with recycled air and recycled water in an enclosed facility with a pathogen that is being sent up there specifically. One that's already antibiotic resistant when it got there, but to be sent up there specifically to mutate off the cuff just to see what happens. That is the definition of mad science gone mad. It says, we will leverage the microgravity environment on the International Space Station to accelerate the precision medicine revolution. Ding-a-ling-a-ling. Here on Earth, says lead researcher Anita Goel, CEO of biotech company NanoBioSim, to Yahoo News. Back in 2015, who the hell are these people now? NanoBioSim developed a device known as Gene Radar, the world's first mobile scanner that enables real-time diagnosis of any disease at the tenth of a cost of similar diagnostic tests. And I'll guarantee you, you read all about the funding that came from DARPA. I bet you these guys got some DARPA dollars. They wanted to do rapid diagnostics in the field. That's what the money was for. This device will be used now on the International Space Station to evaluate how bacterial mutations of two strains of MRSA respond to the microgravity environment. From that, and it's interesting too, because there was an executive order last summer by Obama about MRSA and antibiotic resistance and how we have to now help combat this globally, all in the name of keeping you safe. Well, now it looks like the space station is going to get into the game. And don't worry about it. We're not doing this to weaponize MRSA or anything in space. No, it's just to make sure you're safe down there on Earth with Gene Radar. I mean, again, people, this is one of those raise your eyebrow moments that go, what? What on Earth are they doing? Aren't they hungry, homeless people here that need feeding versus cultivating killer MRSA in space? Just doesn't compute for me sometimes. Anyway, from that, Goel and her team will develop models that predict how the antibiotic-resistant pathogen will mutate here on Earth in the coming years, giving drug developers a chance. Oh, yes, bazillions of dollars are hands together to preempt its next defensive moves. So we're going to have prophylaxis or something to get us to be immune to antibiotic-resistant bacteria. You wait and see. They'll have all kinds of new drugs just for you. Our ability to anticipate drug-resistant mutations with Gene Radar will lead to a next generation of antibiotics. Ding, ding. Hold on. I dropped my lighter. And that more precisely are tailored to stop the spread of the world's most dangerous pathogens. At this stage, the team does not know for sure how the MRSA bacteria will respond to its new home in Earth's orbit. But previous research on spacefaring bacteria has shown that the environment can result in similar growth, mutation, and population trends on Earth just at quite an accelerated rate. Well, this is because in space, some metabolism-related proteins become more active in a low-dose space radiation, can change the activity of certain genes. An experiment in 2000 found that after 40 days on Mir, remember the Russian space station that operated in low Earth orbit from 86 to 2001, mutation rates for a cloned bacterial gene inserted into a yeast were up to 3 times higher than the control group back on Earth. And another study from 1999 found that E. coli had high mutation frequencies also after a trip into space, but the types and frequencies widely varied depending on their conditions. And look at how crazy this is. So we're going to use space now to create bioweapons? Is that what they're doing? Well, hey, they mentioned the twins judging from the strange effect made clear on NASA's ongoing twin study, and that are the Kelly brothers, there is still a lot that we don't know about how space messes us up for good or ill. So instead of waiting for MRSA to develop a new kind of defense in response to current medications, we could fast forward this process in space and come out with a really virulent strain to see how we could kill it better. And it says antibiotic resistance is looking more and more like one of the biggest threats to humanity right now. So again, like I said, it's all in the name of keeping you safe. It's not in the name of creating bioweapons. Absolutely not. Or weaponizing space that we could aerosolize from any point up here. No, that isn't what it has to do with at all. And with 90,000 Americans being infected with MRSA every year and up to 20,000 dying from it, this is one pathogen we need to get a jump on fast. Now, I'm going to tell you, having gotten MRSA from the hospital when I had my daughter, two things, at least right now, two things that I had success with MRSA and antibiotic resistant staphylococcal and streptococcal bacteria was raw honey locally, and you will see hospitals are using it as well. Raw honey works really well, and some silver, colloidal silver. I use the 30 parts per million, but there are also some higher. You can get 100 parts per million and 500 parts per million. I'm not sure the 500 parts per million looks and smells a little rusty, so I'm not sure if that's good or not. But silver tends to work. You ever get any type of skin bacterial infection, especially if you have a child, a couple little squirties of silver typically does the trick. If not, take a Q-tip. Don't double dip into that raw honey and slap it right on there. Within a few days, it'll be gone. Trust me, at least for now. Until we get some space bacteria back down here. So how insane is that? So even NASA's in the game. And I mean, they can tell me all day this is in the name of trying to keep us safe and get ahead of the resistant bacteria. But we know better. We know that our biowarfare program never ended. We know that NASA, DARPA, light in the dark side, are definitely still a part of the military, the Air Force Space Command. You know, NASA and the Air Force Space Command, pretty much one and the same. I know they're a little bit different, but they hand things back and forth. One is supposed to be the peaceful, one is the war. But we have now space treaties, space junk. We have somebody suing NASA or DARPA over them wanting to start being space garbage men. But you know, see, they think that they're going to be able to not only weaponize, but to control space. And he who controls space controls the globe. He who controls the globe will be able to control the other heavenly bodies. We have moon mining that was supposed to be coming in 2017, as well as Mars trips. And I just saw the UAE. We are talking like United Arab Emirates is now talking about going to Mars as well. Antimedia had a story on that yesterday. It really made me kind of chuckle. All right, but let's get back now. Now that we've talked about space bugs coast to coast, let's get back to the CEO, gene hacking himself. This is the dude from Butterfly Sciences. He injected himself with something that he created and then got electrocuted to open up his muscle cells and suck in the DNA. He says he wanted to prove, he wanted to do it for himself, and he wanted to make progress that his longevity medicine was going to work. Most gene therapy involves high-tech, multi-million dollar experiments carried out by large teams at top medical centers with an eye to correcting rare illnesses. But Hanley, the CEO, then ejected himself and got electrocuted in a plastic surgeon's office in Davis, California, to open up his muscle cells and suck in his custom DNA, showed that gene therapy can also be carried out on the cheap, just what you want, in a back room somewhere, in the same setting as liposuction or a nose job, and in an attempt to live longer. Some enthusiasts of anti-aging medicine already inject growth hormones, swallow fullerenes, or gulp megavitamins. Well, that's me. I will do the vitamins, I admit. And my super greens. Sometimes with disregard for mainstream medical thinking. And that is true. I disregard mainstream medical thinking right out a window after we found out that a good majority of the studies that the FDA has allowed them to publish potentially have either been swayed by industry money or are outright incorrect or fraudulent and have not been redacted. But now, unregulated gene therapy, and I'm going to add to that, man, science gone mad, experiments in general, could be the next frontier. I think it's damn crazy, says Bruce Smith, a professor at Auburn University who develops genetic treatments for dogs. Well, I wonder if Bruce Smith, professor at Auburn University, heard about the dude in a shed in rural Mississippi doing gene therapy on dogs to try to cure hip dysplasia. But that is human nature. And now human nature is colliding with technology, he says, and that's where we should be frightened. I add to that, human nature is not always benevolent. Human nature is kind of like the drowning man. You know, if somebody is drowning, even if it is a loved one or your best friend or your child, be aware. If you've never come into contact with a drowning person does not care who you are, the rescuer. A drowning person has moved into that state of mind that is called preservation. And when you are in preservation mode, it is an instinct. And if you are drowning, if somebody comes up to try to save you, the first thing you're going to do is grab them by the hair and try to step on their shoulders, push them underwater as you get yourself up. And self-preservation isn't anything that is calculated. It is an instinct coded into us for survival. And that's what's happening right now, is these technologies are opening the door and making the fountain of youth closer than we ever imagined. That holy grail that they have been searching for back from the days of the alchemists and before. Unsuccessfully, except for those who suck babies' blood. We discovered Peter Thiel. Peter Thiel and his longevity medicine experiments and funding of young blood versus old blood. Look it up. Peter Thiel, supposedly the most powerful man in technology right now, and I do have a story titled exactly that, queued up for one of these days. But the fountain of youth is something that humans have sought since the beginning of time, since they realized that they aged and you only had a limited time on this rock. And there are some out there that would do anything, anything to find that. So greed is a motivation. Egocentrism. Power. If you could live forever, you could amass grand riches and you could control it all. Guys, that is what is in play right now. The fact that the rich tech billionaires, in the middle of all of this, they're financing much of this research. And then sprinkle in a few federal agencies like NASA and DARPA and universities that can use our kids to do all the legwork and the brain power. Dangle that carrot for them. Pay them a good salary. They don't need to know what they're doing. Each one does a little piece just like they used to do. Nobody actually knows what the whole project is. But eventually, in the end, they might actually pull it off. And it's not going to be good for you or me, because this isn't for us. We are the guinea pigs, remember? We are the ones that get to step up and be a part of the Precision Medicine Initiative, to be part of the All of Us program, to be part of the All of Us program to help cure the world from pathogens that might take us all out, wink. not ones that we engineered up on the space shuttle or the space station to be more virulent and accelerate them so they kill everybody new, not those that accidentally got out. I mean, guys, we really are at a cusp where there are so many things right now that are just kind of waiting on tippy little dominoes. And somebody keeps walking, slamming their heels into the floor so that table's shaking every time they go get a refill on their coffee. That's going to be one of them one of these days. And you just need to be prepared. And it's not going to be something. I'm not predicting. It's not going to be something that we'll be able to compute right away. It's going to be something that it's going to take a little bit. It's going to put you in surprise and alarm. It's going to be like the deer in the headlights. It's going to be like when 9/11 happened. And you were in that moment of disbelief that you couldn't compute. Your brain didn't know what to do. You just sat there and looked at it and said, what is that? Your reaction time slowed way down because your brain didn't know how to deal with it. Be prepared for anything. Realize that the day the Minotaurs show up, you might not be dreaming, especially if they're experimenting with crap like that in sheds and swampy backyards. So anyway, human nature and technology are colliding, and we're going to have to pay the piper eventually for that. So to pull off his experiment anyway, the CEO used his scientific knowledge and part of his life savings, and he put his insider know-how to work to procure some blood supplies and blood tests, and then to get a sign-off on a local ethics committee, and then engage a plastic surgeon who helped give him two treatments in 2015 and then one in 2016. The doctor himself, Hanley, is a prolific online commentator whose opinions touch everything from radiation to electric cars to street pickup of leaf piles. But his scientific thinking seems generally sound. And he says the meaning of his dream is straightforward, too. He'd become Dr. Frankenstein's monster, he said. See, there. Ding. Not so sure if I would have someone who would be willing to become Dr. Frankenstein's monster in my life, though I guess I do. I have a friend who thinks I'm nuts being upset about this, because he'd be Dr. Frankenstein's monster also. He'd take wings and fangs any day. I don't know, guys. This doctor says my unconscious is really not that subtle. I had become something else that is not entirely me. Hanley's undertaking now has caught the attention of some big league scientists. Ding, ding. His blood is now being studied by good old Georgie Porgy Church at Harvard University. Georgie Church, who provided MIT Technology Review with an introduction to Hanley, says that he knows a handful of other do-it-yourself gene therapy cases as well. And of course, they're all going to Georgie, because Georgie is the one who announced that he wants to create the first synthetic human. And he is working on synthetic biology off the hook right now. Georgie Church is the man. He says he knows a handful, and there are probably a lot more of do-it-yourself gene cases that we don't know about, since regulators have not signed off on these experiments. No one is quite sure. This is a completely free-form exercise. And like I said earlier today, you know, the fact that people are doing this stuff to themselves and then mingling with the general public and not being quarantined. And again, you know, I wrote a big story when that Ebola, quote unquote, Ebola outbreak happened a couple years ago about that Carrie, whatever her last name was, the nurse that came back and had been exposed to Ebola. And they put her in quarantine in New Jersey. I did a big story about the ethics of quarantine. And she was bitching and complaining that, you know, where are her human rights? She doesn't deserve to be quarantined. And I hate to tell you, you know, for as liberal as I can be sometimes, I tended to agree with the quarantine because I am a germaphobe. And I do worry about Typhoid Marys. I read The Stand back in the late 70s or early 80s, guys. That has been a nightmare of mine that I have never forgotten. And I think that that is in our future at some point. You know, as the world gets smaller and smaller, and as pathogens get more and more virulent, and as we have this WMD war with CRISPRing and pushing a button to create life forms with DARPA, guys, it's becoming more and more of a reality that could set in on a daily basis. And as we discover more and more things about how not only pathogens mutate, but how interconnected we are at a microbial level, we should be concerned. And as people are genetically modifying themselves without any oversight, wantonly, to become superheroes or something, you know, I mean, it's one thing to be inserting stuff under your skin and being a bio hacker or grinder like we were reading yesterday, but it's another thing to be injecting yourself with pathogens or home-baked gene therapies and turning yourself into Frankenstein's monster, like this guy says, and interacting with the world without knowing what the end result is going to be. That is foolhardy to the nth degree and completely irresponsible, in my personal opinion. In 2015, MIT Technology Review wrote about the case of Liz Parrish, and we read about her. She was that other CEO of Longevity Medicine that injected herself, an entrepreneur with a background in biology who claimed to receive a dose of gene therapy in Latin America. Parrish actually worked at one point for this other scientist, Hanley, who she happened to know from anti-aging meetings that they attended. Oh, some more. They're part of the same group of crazy people. And I know anybody who's into anti-aging isn't a crazy person, but some people take it a little bit too far. You know, did you ever hear of things such as GABA? And what was that other stuff I was just looking at? I don't remember. PQQ, some crazy thing that's some sort of mitochondrial agent that boosts your mitochondria. I don't know. I've been digging into all kinds of things. This 5-HTP, some sort of tryptophan catalyst or enzyme that's pretty interesting that they're doing research into. I mean, there's nothing wrong with looking at longevity, but to be injecting yourself outside of science, to make this your goal, to live forever, I really think that there are probably more noble things that we could be spending our time and effort doing. And to try to thwart Mother Nature, is that really what we're supposed to be doing? I mean, like I said before, if we finally find a way to live to the ripe old age of 972, that is going to totally affect reproduction, ever having children, the whole life cycle on the planet. And I mean, they want to go to Mars and live to 900. I guess it's all right. Mars doesn't have much in the way of a, at least, life cycle that we can see. Maybe there's bacteria and stuff there, but and no large carbon-based mammals for certain that I've seen on Mars. So if they want to do that there, that's fine, but part of our ecosystem is involving the four seasons, involving life, rebirth, and death, evolving, recycling, We are all recycled, not just here, but in the universe. And I really think that that's a natural order of things. And I think that us trying to become gods, science, trying to break out of this mold, being recycled to become godlike, should be disturbing to all of us, because they will be our rulers, and it will not be for us unless we have the money. Unless you're a rich person, this will not be for you. At least one additional person who underwent self-administered gene therapy is a U.S. biotech executive who also did not want his experience publicly known, because now the Food and Drug Administration is onto him for other matters. Hanley said that he did not secure the approval of the FDA before carrying out his experiments. And the agency does require companies to seek authorization, called an investigational new drug application. But you know what? It costs too much money, like I said. And this was before the 21st Century Cures Act, before they made the FDA comb his hair, and get dressed up and move off to the side, and give him a new rubber stamp and an ink pad so he could just rubber stamp everything. Before that, they had to actually at least prove that there was some sort of benefit to research that was being done, and then prove efficacy and safety. Well, not so anymore. That is not to say, though, gene therapy is not without dangers, such as immune reactions. Hanley argued that self-experiments should be exempt from the FDA because they don't pose any risk to the public. But like I said, we still don't quite understand how everything works. And there is interaction at a microbial level between individuals. I just think that we should not be so wanton with technologies that are so powerful, especially ones that can change your genetic makeup. And you know, DARPA's Biological Technology Office has a couple projects right now. We read about one of them. One was the digital rights management for our genome to address this very issue that I'm discussing. It would lock down our genomes so they couldn't accidentally or on purpose make edits without our knowledge or our consent. And it could be a rogue experiment or it could be a bioweapon. But no matter, because they're working on it. They're working on locking us down. You know, it's just sci-fi world gone sideways, guys. How do we explain this to our children? I've really tried. I tried to explain, but you can't, because it's so complicated and it's so scary that it's like, you know, mommy, are there monsters under my bed? Oh, no, honey. There are no monsters. Those are all just dreams. Well, you can't really say that anymore. There are monsters. And, you know, there really always were monsters. They just looked human. They hid in dark corners with weird eyes and sharp implements named Hannibal Lecter with spit masks. But now there really could be monsters. Human experimentation is off the hook. Step up here, little Johnny, and get your new DNA modifying vaccine. All in the name of keeping you safe. It's frightening. Because people who would do this to others and tell them it's going to be okay, but honestly, they do not know. They do not know what the end result is going to be of any of this technology. This is the beginning stages of the very, very infant understanding of genetic modification. And it's extremely complex, taking millions of years to evolve, unless you believe in being created by some intelligent race somewhere, which is very possible. But regardless, our DNA is extremely complex. And in reading about CRISPR, we've discovered that even though you might think you know what some genes do, there are lots of off-target effects that we might not understand. You know, flipping this switch over here, yeah, might affect this, this, and this switch like we wanted. But also those 22 switches over there that we don't quite understand what they do yet. And that is where the problem lies. It's like allowing a four-year-old to do brain surgery. Says this is not to say that gene therapy is without dangers, such as immune reactions. And yeah, your immune system doing what it's supposed to do, like freaking out because it's got foreign material that's been stuck into it. But this Hanley says, I spent years doing very little else other than iterating designs and thinking of all the ways that something could go wrong. So maybe kind of like me. But when we met him at Stanford University's campus to discuss his project, Hanley zipped open his cargo pants, oh God, to show me three black dots tattooed on his left thigh, which mark the site of one of his injections. And had the gene therapy gone haywire, he says, his fail-safe option was to have that very tissue surgically removed. During a day that was spent with Hanley in Menlo Park, he seemed to burst with energy several times, colliding with me as we tried to walk through doors. Was it the gene therapy at work, an excitable personality, or just a show? Well, he says, I think getting near Spider-Man-like transformations of people is potentially possible with gene therapy, he says. Now let's read that again. I think getting near Spider-Man-like transformations of people is potentially possible with gene therapy. Oh, yes, he did. Spider-Man a-cometh, like I told you. Wings and fangs, X-ray vision coming right up. Instead of spider goats, we could have Spider-Man. And most often, this approach relies on viruses. We've talked about this. This is old school GMO, genetic modification, sucking the guts out of a virus. Because a virus is very well adept at finding the cracks in cells and becoming a Trojan horse and infiltrating. But most often, this approach relies on viruses to shuttle DNA into a person's cell. And Hanley opted instead for a simpler method, though, called electroporation. In his procedure, circular rings of DNA called plasmids are passed into cells using an electrical current. And once inside, they don't become a permanent part of a person's chromosomes. No, instead, they float around inside of the nucleus. And if the gene is coded into the plasmid, it'll start manufacturing proteins. The effect of the plasmid is temporary, which will last a few weeks to a few months. Well, interesting, because I knew I had read about plasmids before. Yesterday, I ran across plasmids in regards to that Bacillus endospore-forming heat-resistant bacteria they're putting into junk food now. It also produces plasmids inside of the intestine once it starts to sprout with dark, warm heat and liquid. So I'll have to save this and read more about plasmids. Maybe we need to get Clint Richardson on to have a discussion about plasmids. Anyway, because of its simplicity, the same technique is now eyed as a novel way to deliver quick vaccines. Ding, ding. In regards to emerging diseases, so interestingly, it's the same sort of technology now that they're looking at putting into our food. Oh, wink. In August of 2016, the National Institute of Health actually began dosing volunteers with a plasmid that contained parts of a Zika virus. Ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. This story goes on for so long. I might have to save the rest of this for my research because I got about 2 minutes left. And I can't even believe we made it through the end of another show here, but I'm not sure where we want to go. Don't let the show end yet, because I had some craziness. Well, I'll tell you what, AI is coming. So is genetic modification of humans. I guess we'll deal with this. Scientists say it is now time that we discussed not only creating humans with stem cells, no humans required eventually, but this just came out yesterday, actually early hours of this morning, and I guess we should talk about this very quickly because we knew it was coming. China was doing it. So we got to jump on board. U.S. scientists have now cautiously backed permanent gene editing in humans. Now, remember, just recently, they said, yeah, we're going to let them do CRISPRing of human embryos in a petri dish, but it can only live for so many days. It can only be done on DNA that cannot be spread down to progeny, and they will have to eliminate those embryos after so many days in the petri dish. They cannot be grown to term, at least in the United States. Well, they have now changed their tune a little bit. It is a brave new world and a controversial move. A senior U.S. scientific committee has now given the green light to one of the most contentious forms of genome editing, where genetic changes to human embryos will then be inherited by following generations. Ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. Let's give Johnny blue eyes and green eyes and superpowers if you can afford it. For the first time, a panel of experts from two of the most recognized scientific institutions called germline editing has said that this process should be considered as an option. All right, guys, have a good day. And we will get to tomorrow.